we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me?
Talking about practice. Not a game. We talking about practice.
Are growing out, and the only way the roots grow out every single day and they grow stronger and they grow better is if that we all water.
What? I'm out, man.
What it do? What up? What up? What up? It is Monday nights. I just got back from Dorney Park, but I decided we need to talk to the people. JD had his first day of school, but he decided he needed to talk to the people. So we are here to talk to the people. What is in your hand? Oh, you got a little AirPods?
Pro.
Oh, pro?
Professional.
Oh, okay.
For the professional types.
For those of you that don't know, I'm Chip, but y'all know that. I have two Twitters, Chip for the Birds and Umpire Stories. We're going to talk about it. That's JD. He's And he's got some Twitters and some things.
I do have an announcement.
Hooray. You announce things. Wait. Hold on. Do it.
No, you don't have to do that. That's too much.
But I'm doing it. It's already done.
Stop.
It's already done.
All right.
It's done.
So for those of you who don't know, I do own D2N Podcast LLC, and I've converted obvious outsiders to Keg Heads Podcast. So Keg Heads is, remember I showed you the logo and stuff. It's pretty dope little logo.
Yeah.
Keg Heads is now taking over for Obvious Outsiders. And so I have a secret guest host. I haven't brought her in the fold yet. So it's going to start in a couple weeks right after college football season. And Keg Heads is going to be a brand. So.
It's going to start in a couple weeks after college football season.
Yeah.
That's a couple months, brother.
No, it's a couple weeks.
After college football season starts.
Yeah. It's like, so it'll be like the week after September 5th.
Got you. I heard that.
It's just a brand. It's a brand now. So it's not just. Keg Heads is under the D2N Network podcast, but Keg Heads is its own brand. So.
I got you.
Can't wait.
I like that. All right. So
Olivia Newton-John died today too, by the way.
Olivia Newton-John died today. It really sucks. I loved her. I loved her a lot. She was a cool, very cool lady.
She's a very good looking lady in her time.
Yeah, well, not even her own time. She was good looking the whole time.
Well, I mean, she was like 70 something now, so.
So besides that, a lot of stuff has gone on in a week, and we were potentially going to postpone that just because of, you know, first day stuff and long day stuff. No, we are not making a joke about her today, Teal. Believe me, we are bummed.
We are bummed. Like, I love Grease. I only saw it recently, but yes.
Oh, really?
Love it. Yeah, I'm black, so I don't know if you know that. So black people, that's not really the movie for black people. It was Grease. Not because we don't like Grease, but we just don't watch it.
Right.
So, yep.
But no, we're not making jokes about that. Adam, that's one of our topics for sure. Thanks for checking in, buddy. Mike, what's going on? What's up? We got a lot to talk about. So let's pay the bills real quick. Let's do that. Let's get that out of the way. So that we can get into some stuff.
Before you do it, let's pay them in the middle. Let's pay it in the middle of the show. Like, we'll use it to split up a segment. How about that? Try something new. That way we don't ramble.
That's cool. I will just say, remember, don't forget to get your tickets to see the Eagles take on Commander Carson, because those tickets, you need to buy them. And I'm going. So do that.
I'm not going, but I am going to say that you should go. Okay. And I'm hating a little bit. I just want to be honest.
It's cool. All right. Topic number one. Pete Rose is an absolute scumbag.
That's an understatement.
I really struggled with this because.
Oh, God.
Every single time that we made arguments about, you know, who should be in the Hall of Fame and, you know, Barry Bonds, the all-time home runs leader, should be in the Hall of Fame. Pete Rose, the all-time hits leader, should be in the Hall of Fame. Okay. That's what I always had said. That's what I had always said. Okay. And then 2 weeks ago, because apparently I was living under a rock in 2017 and I didn't know about all of this sexual allegation misconduct stuff, and I missed it, and someone brought it up and I went, okay, let me delve into this. Let me dive into this a little bit. Fact. And apparently in the 70s, he had had a relationship when he was married with a girl who was 16 years old whilst living in Ohio.
Yes.
Okay. Now I say the 16 year old thing, because according to sworn affidavits and such, she was actually 14 or 15 at the time. And his justification is, no, she was 16. So let's just start with that alone. That's not okay.
Perfect.
Okay. Let's just start with that right there. 15, 14, 16, doesn't matter. Still scuzzy. Yeah. Still illegal, still not cool. Okay. We're moving past that. I love the logo, by the way.
I did it for you.
But moving past that. So for the first time since getting kicked out of baseball and banned from baseball, he was back on a baseball field this past weekend to celebrate the 1980 World Championship Phillies team. And it was a big deal. And he hasn't been on a field in years. And he petitions to get unbanned, and he does, and it wasn't happening. So eventually the Phillies, you know, they canceled his Wall of Fame celebration because of all this stuff in 2017, I want to say. And he's still banned. Well, eventually the Phillies were like, you know what? You can come back. We have our Wall of Fame celebration. It was a big deal. And of course, Pete Rose gets asked right off the top, hey, can we have a conversation about this whole sexual allegation stuff? To which old man Pete Rose responds in the crappiest, shittiest, double down way possible. Which was basically, actually, I'm going to pull up the tweets so that you can see in detail exactly what my friend, I don't even want to say my friend because the guy's a piece of garbage, what Pete Rose responded to a female reporter from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Okay. I asked Pete, I'm going with the middle one first. I asked Pete Rose what he would say to people who say his presence here sends a negative message to women. His response, no, I'm not here to talk about that. Sorry about that. It was 55 years ago, babe. Someone, I'm on the top, maybe an agent said he had said something to say to me, but he didn't seem to know he was expected to say anything. He asked if he'd offended me and said, will you forgive me if I sign 1,000 baseballs for you before saying sorry? And when asked about our interaction earlier by the AP, Rose said, I'm going to tell you one more time. I'm here for the Philly fans. I'm here for my teammates. I'm here for the Phillies organization. And who cares what happened 50 years ago? May I be the first to say, I do. And after we'd spent an hour and a half last week talking about Deshaun Watson and whether or not he should be allowed to play football this season, or the 6 games was enough, or all of that. And one of the biggest issues is he's not showing remorse, right? Deshaun Watson is not showing remorse. Well, here it is 50 years later, and Pete Rose is not showing remorse. So, as Adam says, Pete Rose should not be allowed in a baseball stadium anymore. And Adam, I agree with you. Now, my only caveat that I'm going to say is he should be in the Hall of Fame because his statistics allow it, but he should not be invited to the ceremony. He should not be allowed to speak at the ceremony because he's still a piece of garbage, but his statistics put him in the Hall of Fame. But I do not want him on the Phillies Wall of Fame. First off, he only played a couple seasons here. Yes, he helped win a World Series, but his big success came in Cincinnati. They can put him on their Wall of Fame. Apparently, they love having people up in Ohio that are scuzz buckets. JD, your thoughts?
There's a lot to unpack in this, man. Like, I mean, I'm listening and I'm kind of like, 50 years is a long time too. Like, that's what the only problem, like 50 years is a long time and not have any remorse. Like, in 50 years, you hadn't learned anything. And as you've watched the world change, you've watched guys like Bill Cosby go down. You watch guys like Hugh Hefner get ripped apart, and your response to a sexual assault allegation or a statutory rape allegation, and that we know is true, is that it happened 50 years ago, and he's not here to talk about that. Like, the reality of it is he's on his deathbed, and if you have no more remorse than to legitimately say 50 years ago it doesn't matter anymore, then I don't think you should be in the Hall of Fame. I do think it does send a negative thing to women, because at the end of the day, like, he's saying it happened 50 years ago, let it go. Not, it happened 50 years ago, I learned my lesson and it should have never happened.
Correct. But remember, we said last week that these athletes should not be the moral compass for anybody.
No. They shouldn't be. What I mean is, that's why he shouldn't be allowed in the gym.
I want to play this video for you so you can actually hear him be a scuzz bucket.
How you thought some of the sexual allegations in 2017 might affect the way fans or women view.
I'm going to tell you one more time. I'm here for the Philly fans. I'm here for my teammates. Okay. I'm here for the Philly organization. And who cares what happened 50 years ago? You weren't even born. So you shouldn't be talking about it because you weren't born. And if you don't know a damn thing about it, don't talk about it.
So that's what I'm saying. So let's say 5 years from now, let's just say crystal ball, 5 years from now, rub it. And 5 years from now, Deshaun Watson goes into detail and breaks down the whole story. Let's say he does like a whole autobiography about it. What happens? You know, there's no NDA signed. He finally tells everybody what happens. Mm-hmm. That's why I say what I say about Deshaun Watson, because it's too early to call it. But with Pete Rose, he's had 50 years, and admittedly, he slept with this girl. And the only moral thing that he's done that makes him feel better for him to sleep at night is that she possibly was 16 instead of 14. Not that she wasn't a grown ass woman. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's the difference. And you know what? I hate saying this because it sounds really, really shitty. But this country is kind of built on raping, pillaging, taking from others. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that's just the thing. If the haves and the have nots. In this case, I don't believe he should get a pass. I don't think he should be in the Hall of Fame. I don't think that he should get any of the amenities for being a great baseball player if you're a shit person. Like, honestly, we can go without his stats. Like, if his stats aren't in the rule book, it's like they didn't happen. And he's the one guy I don't want to get it. Like, we've talked about it before, about the cheating and the scandal, like, and like him cheating. But like, kind of, sort of, like, if you're willing to cheat in baseball, one of the purest things is a sport, then what are you else? He's willing to cheat in life.
I mean, I don't agree that baseball is a pure sport. I mean, I think, again, as an umpire, as somebody who is obsessed with the game, I can tell you it is one of these sports that people flat out find ways to cheat in. It's actually part of the game, is how can I cheat successfully?
Yes.
Being totally honest. But, and his name's are at the top of the stat book. If you go to MLB records at the top of the all-time hits leaders, you will still see Pete Rose's name. He's just forbidden to do anything with that. And again, when it was just the gambling, okay, I can make a case for you when it was just the gambling, because gambling now 50 years later, it's now deemed okay. The moral compass on that shifted to acceptable.
Unless you're Calvin Ridley.
Unless you're Calvin Ridley. When you're talking about, you know, the Red Sox and the Astros both cheating their way into World Series titles and then not getting stripped of those titles. So again, I can understand the logic of if it's just those things. This to me is a whole nother level. Okay. This to me is a whole nother level. And quite honestly, should be criminally prosecuted.
Yeah. Should be, but I mean, I don't know what the statute of limitations are. So, you know, you got to look.
And that's the concern. And also, you know, we're talking the 1970s. We're talking 55 years ago. Was the age of consent 16? Is that why he said that?
To be completely honest, there was a lot of shit going down in the 1970s and the 1960s. Like, there was shit. Like, people literally were being told they couldn't drink out the water fountain. So, like, I mean, if we're being honest about where we were as a country 60, 50, like you said, 50 years ago, like, it is what it is. The limitations has passed on it. I mean, so T is right. I mean, we can't go after him criminally for this, but in the, like you said, in the court of public opinion, people don't forget. It's kind of like right now, like Jim Brown's going through something, if we don't know, like because of all the stuff that come out with the Hugh Hefner stuff. These guys who made these serious immoral actions are now being now targeted because they made these, they've done these things, and nobody's willing, none of these older guys are willing to say, hey, listen, I am wrong. Now I see the error in my ways. I'm very sorry to the victims of whoever I've done this to. They're just not speaking on it because they're 70, 80 years old at this point. So they're just not speaking on it. Like, Bill Cosby is, if he's still in his right mind, then okay, cool. But in our reality, he's 80 years old. It's not that we forgive them for it, but like, if they're saying, I'm sorry, do you think they really mean it at this point? Or is it something that
I don't know, but to me, even if you're saying it, that's, I don't want to say half the battle, but that is at least a step, at least a step. But the two biggest cases that we're talking about being the Pete Rose thing and the Deshaun Watson thing, they aren't even apologizing. Whether it's BS or not, they aren't even apologizing, which means there needs to be some sort of consequence, because you cannot, you absolutely 100% cannot be allowed to get away with stuff like that. If you're in the wrong, if it's been proven, or if it hasn't been proven, or if it's a court of public opinion and there's punishments handed out or whatever, there has got to be some sort of long-term consequence.
So, but we're talking two different things, though. We're talking...
But are we?
Well, one's criminal. So let's be honest. One really does give you jail time. And one is sexual misconduct. And that doesn't actually carry jail time. It's just you're pervy and you're nasty. You're just really a shitty person, to be honest. But we all got people that we know that are like in that same spectrum of category. Like I know guys right now that I know are pervy. Like, I wouldn't trust my daughter, my wife around. Like, they're pervy. They're just that way. But do we throw them in jail? They probably should be, but they're not because of the thing. But when you get to physically having a relationship with a 16, 14 year old and you're a grown ass man, that pushes the line, because that becomes the touching and all that stuff. So that is punishable under law. Except for this is out without the outside the statute of limitations, so he cannot be prosecuted by law. But let's say okay, let's say they catch him in 1950, they catch him doing God knows what to this young girl in 1970s, and they prosecute him. We never have to have this discussion about him being in the Hall of Fame. We don't have to, we don't see people debate it. You don't do all that. You just, it's like, he's a scumbag. We don't want him here. Like, listen, we made Barry Bonds a pariah. Like, he's literally a pariah. Sammy Sosa, pariah. McGuire, pariah. All because of steroids. Just because of the thought that they might be cheating, like, to get an unfair advantage. When really, in all honesty, you said multiple times already the way that people have cheated to get an unfair advantage. So,
I mean, I could tell you literally doing 9, 8, 9, and 10-year-old baseball this weekend cheating.
So we're raising kids that, A, if you're not cheating, you're not trying, or we're raising a group of saying,
it's what can I get away with?
What can we get away with? It's almost like the thing about court. It's not what I did, it's what I can prove in court. I mean, really, that's what it boils down to. So in theory, back to the Deshaun Watson situation, it's less about him being a perv and more about what they can actually convict him for. Because if he could be convicted for this stuff, we wouldn't be having this conversation. But it's just that gray area because they can't convict him of anything. And every time they've tried to go after the criminal charges, there's not enough evidence, either A, holes are in the story, or there's not enough real factual evidence to prosecute this guy, which causes a huge problem for the people like me and you, because we need proof to be able to say this guy's a scumbag, other than it's just a thought. Like,
but this guy is a scumbag.
Oh, yeah, we know it, but he's a perv. But there's no place to put him. You know what I'm saying? There's no place to put
and
him.
It's one thing that I struggle with, even in my own life, and we tend to use the argument, well, they grew up in a different time, right?
Oh, facts.
I hate that argument. I hate that argument because I have people, I have people in my own life who are of the same hue as I am, maybe not so golden as I am right now.
I'm pretty golden right now because of the light.
Who are of the same hue of me that feel comfortable making racist remarks. And I sit there and I go, how am I supposed to correct somebody in their late 60s, their 70s, their 80s, because they, quote, grew up in a different time? You saw in that video clip that I showed a 70-year-old man.
Decrepit.
A decrepit, grumpy old get off my lawn old man making the wrong choice. And here we are saying, no, you were wrong. You know what I mean? So we, I struggle because in my mind, and again, 35, I like to think of myself as a lifelong learner. That's what makes me a good teacher, right? So I don't know what I don't know. Therefore, when I learn something, it alters my mindset. When I, in my school district, so I teach in a minority school, and we started a lot of stuff with cultural proficiency, okay?
Right.
And when it started, I was like, I have Black friends. I'm popular with the Black kids. This isn't me.
Fair.
Because that's where we start. And then as you get into it more and you start to pay more attention to the world and you see all of these cases in the Ahmaud Arbery and the Breonna Taylors and you see all this and you learn more about the cop, as you learn more, you alter your opinion so that you go, okay, it might not be me. It might be how I'm perceived. It might not be how I'm perceived, but how can I help without making this about me?
And okay. So we've had plenty of conversations on and offline.
Tons.
Particular thing, but it's, there's a learning process that that happens, right? So we had a conversation about, like, you know, Black Wall Street and, you know, Juneteenth and all these conversations that are really are, at this point in the game, for some people, it's redundant. But for some people, they may not know the story. So it's like, hey, we're now telling, you know, 20, 30-year-old person about something that happened 60, 70, 80 years ago that had nothing to do, wasn't even a twinkle in their daddy's eye. Their daddy wasn't even here yet. So we're having these conversations with people who feel like they're so removed from the situation because they had nothing to do with it. Why are they being, you know, blamed? Why are they being, you know, subjected to having to be, oh, I'm a racist because I'm white. And that's not that you're racist because you're white.
That's not what it is.
Let me be clear with the words that I'm about to say. We don't care your color. We just don't want your silence to mean complicity to somebody else doing something wrong. Like I told you before, like I've been, you know, almost taken to jail for defending my white friends. It's like I've been almost taken to jail for defending my Black friends. So I don't think it's a huge thing. I think it's a human thing. Like I think it's legitimately a human thing. I think it's a human emotion thing. Like if you value people, then you will not, you will look at the injustice as the injustice and not the color. Now you will see that there's sometimes premeditated injustices kind of thrown on people. That happens, but in the most part, for most people are good. It's just there's probably about a 30% curve in there of people who were either raised the wrong way, have preconceived notions about people, and kind of don't want things to change because they feel like if they make everything equal, they will be at the bottom of the totem pole. So
you know, the whole idea of the squeaky wheel, you know, you pay attention to the bad kids, all of that stuff. And then cycling back to the whole Pete Rose thing. So, okay, the injustice is that he did this act, whether it was 50 years ago or 5 minutes ago. He did this act. He does not show remorse.
Right.
Focusing on the injustice is you were originally banned from baseball for
betting.
Betting. It has now come out that you were also an absolute garbage dumpster fire human, which I'm sure hundreds of baseball players were, and football players and basketball players. You know, we Magic Johnson, right? Literally inserted himself wherever he could.
See, this is the problem I have with America. And this is why I think like America is the one place where you can love it one day and hate it the next.
Yeah.
It's because you have a situation where you have a guy like Magic Johnson who becomes the face of a nasty disease that kills, mm-hmm. you know, people in the LGBTQ community, he kills African Americans, it kills a lot of people. That's the one, like, I think sickness is the one thing that kind of, I don't want to say it humbles us all, but it's the one thing that kind of like, it doesn't matter your social status. Sickness, like COVID was the thing, it was a great equalizer, so to speak.
Until it became political.
Yeah, rich people died from it, poor people died from it, black people, white people, whatever, Spanish people, anybody died from it, right? Hispanic people, everybody died from it. If you got it and you got it bad enough, you died from it. And it was in the Christian world, we say it's not a respecter of persons. You know, it's not a respecter of persons. Right. It doesn't matter your race, religion, or whatever. It's just it's just gonna come. And when it happens, you just gotta hope you get the better of it before it gets the better of you. But during this time period, they were talking about how Magic Johnson was treated once he said he was HIV positive. You know what I'm saying? Like him, the way, you know, people wouldn't drink after him. They right. wouldn't touch anything after him. He was a literal pariah of people being afraid of him because there's something we didn't understand. Think about
it. If he scratched his finger on a basketball court, they shut the game down.
Or they just told him that we can't deal with this, so you can't play anymore. So this is what I'll put about this whole Pete Rose in this like black-white situation. If we stop treating race conversations like HIV, we'd be all right. But we treat it like if you have a thought that may not be something of an old, or you're trying to figure out, have the question about race, all of a sudden you're part of the problem, not part of the solution. Mm-hmm. When our honesty, the only way you're going to get that solution is you got to have that conversation. You got to find out how things happen. Because think about it, this kid that lives in backwoods Alabama is being told white is the ultimate race and there be nobody better than him. And if black people ever get equal, we're going to take over and he's going to be the one enslaved. When it's in all honesty, we don't enslave people. I'm just going to be honest with you. It's a shit life. So I don't plan on enslaving anybody. I don't have that in my mindset. I don't want reparations. I just want to live free and be by myself. I just want to let you know that. So I think that stands for a lot of bad people. I just think they kind of just want the equality part of it. And then we'll figure out how we, you know, work on an equal playing field. But I think a lot of it is the people that weren't in charge, that, you know, that were living this way, they kind of feel like, hey, we did take these things from these people. We didn't give them an equal shot, and they have started to catch up, and we don't know how, because it wasn't set up for them to do this. Right. It wasn't set up for them to have billionaire black people, and that wasn't supposed to happen. So what do we do now if we give them an equal shot? Like, what does that mean for us? Because they've had all this adversity. What happens now? They don't have adversity. So I think that's part of the conversation. And then these people that we have commenting, they're like throwing up some good.
They're great. Too. You know, and, you know, so the wife from across the room says, you know, I agree 100% growing up in a different time. Yes. But we grow as people. We know the difference between right and wrong. And right. I think that the question that was asked by the reporter, which is, how do you think this reflects on women who you now are being kind of put back up on the pedestal? And it's a valid question for somebody who has been away from the spotlight for a while. You know, every year or so he petitions the commissioner and get back in and he gets denied, but he hasn't really been able to be asked these questions.
And in the times that he has been in front of a camera, it's been on his own terms. So those questions are already pre-done. He doesn't want you don't get a chance to ask those questions because it's only geared towards, hey, can I become a part of the Hall of Fame yet? Like, is it my time yet? And it's like now the time's ticking. And I think on top of it, I think he's grown tired of asking, and now he's that grumpy old man that maybe had been willing to have that conversation.
The question itself, but the question itself was valid, and we're talking about a time where women are being dictated the law about their own damn bodies. So it is an exceptionally valid question. And for him to treat it this way, for me, like, okay, the second set of questions and, you know, the whole, this was 55 years ago, fine. I mean, that was bad. But him being just a misogynistic asshole, being like, oh, excuse me, babe. Like, you're a scumbag. You are a scumbag.
Because you wouldn't have said babe to a man. You wouldn't have said, oh, yeah, babe. Like, it was like you were patronizing her all
like,
over.
We don't do that anymore. No. Like, female reporters are legitimate. They've always been legitimate, but now it is more treated as such, especially female sports reporters.
If you go into a locker room, in a male locker room, and you go to a press conference and call some woman babe, the chances of either, A, you are shooting your shot, which you see some athletes do from time to time. They shoot their shot at a reporter, Brett Favre. But if it depends on the thing. But this situation is really taking her power away in that moment. Like, hey, babe, like, you're just here to be pretty, honey. Just chill. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, God, even you just saying that, like.
That's what it was. It was dismissive.
It is. It was so 1970s of him.
Things haven't changed for him since 1970. He's been banned since then. So it's not like things have changed. He probably, honestly, you know, like this old saying is like when people get old, they just say whatever they think. They don't care anymore about the public opinion of them. Like, he probably is at that point too. Like, he is probably.
Then don't put him in the public.
No. And the thing about it, that's why you can't put him in. Because at some point he'll be in and they'll be wanting to ask him questions. Like, how does it feel to finally be in?
Okay, so let me ask you this. Because again, statistically,
he doesn't get in.
Hold on, just listen. Listen to my question, listen to my hypothetical. Statistically, it is a no-brainer. He should be in the Hall of Fame. So, do they wait until he dies to
do
it? No,
he doesn't. He does not get in. I'm telling you, Chip, like, this man will never.
Fine.
He should never see the Hall of Fame. The family members of Pete Rose should never have that satisfaction.
Which set of family members? From his wife or from his mistress?
Either one. Nobody carrying the Pete Rose name should ever get to claim that our father, grandfather, great uncle was this person. And if you really want to know about him, you have to go on the record books and look.
Yeah.
And hopefully there'll be some asterisk beside it as misogynistic pig. And then you can go and look up the video of him doing this at 70-something years old and look up the multitude of articles about this guy. Because I promise you this, if in 20 years I can look up that Deshaun Watson had 23 sexual assault allegations on him, which I will, I better damn well be able to find out that Pete Rose was a POS gambler and degenerate baseball player that was not allowed to the Hall of Fame because of it.
Yeah. I don't know, because I know the push is so extreme. And I understand. I don't understand. I can comprehend why the push. But again, at some point, basic human decency needs to be the focus. Being a good person needs to be the focus.
Let me just.
And whenever that happens, it'd be great.
Can we get all Teela's things out? She's got a lot. She's trying to.
Yeah, Teela is on fire. Let me just say this, and she's typing furiously.
Put your face in the camera, T. You're across the room.
She can't. She's working. She's actually working in the back room. She's getting work done. But I can tell that this is going to be a novel that she is typing. First off, by the way, thanks everybody for chiming in and listening to us rant and rave while my wife.
This is your part. This is where you do it. This is where you do it.
We have a lot of great sponsors out there, including Stamen Games, a fun free twist on fantasy sports. Make sure that you check out the link in the bio. Symbol.com, the stock market for sports. Use the promo code AAT Sports when you sign up. Vinny's Pizza and Restaurant off the Iroquois Trail in the Old Town Shopping Center in Allentown. Vinny'sPizzaPA.com. Stuff to the grills. Same shopping center, Old Town Shopping Center in Allentown, stufftothegrills.com. And also link in the bio for the trip to Washington, which is happening soon. Also, don't forget August 21st. I believe I'm pretty sure I have the date right. Hold on. August 21st, sports and social. We're hanging out with Hollis Thomas, so make sure you are checking that out. No, Potter, we are no longer sponsored by them. Thanks for coming on the trip today, but we're no longer sponsored by them, so I don't have to say that. I know. Someone could be great at their job, but they do things outside of the job that gets them fired. True. Stuff outside of the jobs counts. Yes, it's the whole package. I agree. So he shouldn't get in. He did things outside and inside the job that would cause him not to be inducted. T, that's...
Lawyer.
Facts.
Lawyered. I mean, facts. I do agree with that.
We need to bring Sarah in. She's an HR professional. She could probably break it down, so to speak. Real life HR professional.
Real life HR professional.
I just work.
And with that, we are moving on because I can't spend any more time talking about that. And with that, it is time. Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this?
Do it.
Hit the button. Let me know if you're ready.
Hit the button.
It's time to bring back the wheel.
I don't know how I feel. I get so excited about this. Let's do it.
So we, for a couple of weeks, were bringing this, you know, the wheel of names, and there was topics, and then we kind of were put on the spot right then and there to see, you know, what we were going to talk about. So we're letting the wheel decide.
Is that one the same thing because it's the same color?
No, there's only five things, so there's not another color in between.
Ah, facts. Okay.
So the topics on the wheel are Eagles. And we'll also just say NFL in general, because we got to talk about your Steelers a little bit. I'll tell you what. Let me do this.
Can we do NFL first? Because it's only right.
So hold on. Let me do this. Let me pull this off for a second. Hold on. I'm going to add to the wheel so it doesn't look all funky. Just NFL.
Add Durant.
Okay. And then JD's feels.
You don't have to put the feels in there. It's just in the NFL section, technically. So we could cover it all. Like, it's just.
Okay. So then I'll take out JD's feels. I'm shuffling it. Let me go back here.
If people need to see that it's not rigged.
Oh, yeah. Share screen. Hold on. Let me put it back up. So here it is. Everyone can see it. No, they can't because I got to put it on the actual screen. Everyone can see it. And I'm going to click shuffle, 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 shuffle. I'm going to go full screen. And now we're going to spin it.
Here we go. Click it or tick it.
First topic we shall do is.
Haven't we spent enough time on the Phillies and Pete Rose?
We haven't. So real quick, the Phillies are on an absolute tear. I have two major thoughts that I want to share.
You can do those. I don't want to be part of this.
I know. This is not going to take very long. I have two major thoughts on the Phillies. Number one, Rob Thomson not only needs to be the long-term manager, remove the interim piece immediately. Wow. Remove the interim piece.
Wow.
Because he took a team that was not going to make the playoffs, that had their MVP candidate pretty much done for the season. Now he's coming back in September, but and turn them into a playoff contender. He got all the pieces in. He stopped letting guys just kind of be there. Like, oh, well, my role is this. No. He actually managed the team. So remove the interim role, number one. Mm. Number two, Schwarber needs to be in consideration for MVP because he is the most valuable player on this team. Now, his strikeouts will prevent that from happening because he either hits a home run or he strikes out horribly. And yeah, as Max is saying here, he committed to Bryson Stott. He cut, or I should say he, but the team cut Didi Gregorius, our starting shortstop, as soon as Gene Segura came back. They traded pretty much every single one of their prospects to make a run this season. I am ready to give Rob Thomson the managerial keys. If he makes the playoffs, then he absolutely gets the managerial keys.
Playoffs.
This team is, I mean, they're scoring at such a high clip. And again, it's not against great teams, but they're doing it. I mean, 34 runs in a weekend is pretty impressive. You know, we're not going to go down the mercy rule conversation again, but I do need to see something out of Noah Syndergaard. I do need to see these moves make sense. And I need to see Bryce Harper come back and do what he's got to do. Yes. Max, exactly. If you starters can become more consistent, oh boy. Now, I do think Dombrowski over-traded at the deadline. I think he could have gotten, you know, Syndergaard and Marsh for a little bit less. I don't think he needed to trade all of that away, every single prospect we've ever had. But it be what it be. I'm not in the room, therefore I can't know what they're going to say.
A bee's in the traps.
Exactly. So that was my conversation about the Phillies. Any thoughts that you would like to add?
No.
Okay, great. Phillies are gone. Shall we?
Let's do it.
He spins again.
You're it.
All right. I'm going to let you take the lead on this one. Whoa. Now, I was on the line. Nope, it was on the line. We're going hijinks. We have not had a conversation about this topic.
Please, the tampering.
The tampering. So for those of you that do not know, the National Basketball Association is opening up
an investigation, baby.
An investigation on the 76ers for tampering during free agency.
They tamper.
Okay. And their argument is tampering and early contact centered on James Harden, who is already a free agent of ours, PJ Tucker, and Daniel House.
And it was the Knicks as well.
Oh, hold on. I have a shenanigan for that.
All right. Then we'll hold up.
Hold on. I'm going to put up that shenanigan. If that is tampering
again,
I'm going to shenan this one now. New York Knicks hired Jalen Brunson's dad 2 months before free agency, only basically to sign Jalen Brunson before free agency begins. But the Sixers signed PJ Tucker and Daniel House after James Harden restructures his deal. NBA, you can't do that.
So I'm assuming Jalen Brunson is now a Knick.
Yeah, huge money. Huge contract.
That changes things. That's called nepotism, guys, if you didn't know.
4 year, $104 million.
Yeah, yeah, but what I'm saying is it's like overpaying for a Ford Escort. It's like when you pay like $46,000 for a Ford Escort.
You stop. All right, $46,000, fine. I pay $13,000. That was my first car.
Yeah, but you wouldn't pay $46,000
for it. I would not.
Not even and for a brand new one.
It's funny because the conversation that is happening in the chat, especially between Max and my wife right now, is, yes, that's the NBA. We don't know. Every team tampers. Absolutely. Yes, it is too much money. Absolutely. I adore my wife, but this is where it's wrong. This is going to get thrown out so hard. It's not. The NBA absolutely despises the success that the Sixers have had because of the process.
But what success have they really had? Let's be real. What success have the Sixers really had?
By having one of the top players in the league.
Yeah, but they still don't have any success. Like, they haven't. Like, it's like, you know what? Who cares if you're the prettiest girl if you don't get a date to the prom? Like, who cares? Like, really, like, who cares? Like, nobody cares. You gotta get that date to the prom.
But again, here's the thing. Yes, God forbid we have a good team. Exactly. They hate us. It's because we're not allowed to be good, to be too good. Yes, LeBron James and Curry world, we know that we're not allowed. But here's the thing: in a Giannis world, in a Luka world, and all these other guys, the problem, like Joel Embiid should have won the MVP this year. He should have. But he finished in third, if I'm correct, right?
That was second.
He finished second, okay. Either way, it was never going to happen. The NBA, until they end this official process and all the pieces that ever came, they are going to punish and punish and punish and punish. Max, what JD is saying, and we've had this conversation a lot, is that the only success you really can count is even making an NBA final, even if you make it, that's success. But getting knocked down the second round every year is not.
So, all right, put this one up. I gotta talk.
Put Adams. This,
yeah, Adam. I gotta talk to Adam. I gotta talk to Adam and Max. This is a conversation between us two, or us three now. when you go into a season, regardless if you're playing rec league, if you're playing every level, the goal is to win the championship. If you're doing things, especially at this high clip and paying guys crazy amounts of money, astronomical amounts of money to do play a children's game, your goal is to win the championship. It's not to make it. We haven't even made it to a conference championship at this point. Uh-uh. So I don't know where you guys think the success came in. I guess the success is making it out of first round. Maybe because this process was so bad, you forgot that real basketball actually starts in the playoffs.
Yeah, it does.
Like, if we can't get past the first round, second round of the playoffs, like, we're not even in the playoffs. Like, have you ever actually been to the playoffs if you've never seen the conference championship? If every year we're playing just to even try to get out of the conference, we haven't even got out of the conference yet. So we're not even the masters of our own conference. Nonetheless, the masters of the NBA, successful teams, okay, make it to the playoffs. Okay, that makes you 500. 500 shouldn't be the stick. It shouldn't be the measuring stick. That should be the bare minimum of what you should do. When you have starter, best big man, you have Jimmy Butler, and then Jimmy Butler turns right back around and gets to another conference championship without mm-hmm. this team. Like, so where is the success that you guys speak of?
And I get it. How many different teams have won a championship in the last 10 years? I get it. You know, we obviously the Golden States, the Cleveland when LeBron was there, the Miami Heat. We understand. If you make it, it's something.
The Celtics just made it to the NBA Finals. When's the last time the Sixers did that? I can tell you, 2001.
2001.
That's almost 22 years ago.
But the point is, Max, it's hard to have teams to have success when you have to go against these super teams. The problem is that the Sixers are not a super team, but they have superstar mentality. They have the alleged superstar coach, and their big free agent acquisitions
are superstars.
No, they're not. Daniel House is not a superstar.
No. Jimmy. Okay, so let's rewind a couple years ago. So when the process was at its most prominent spot was when Jimmy Butler was on the team, Ben Simmons was still playing basketball, Joel Embiid was playing. He was fat, but he was playing. And you had a slither of other people. Like, you still had, I'm pretty sure that was the first year with Toby or whatever. Mm-hmm. So they had some guys. You know, they had some dudes. And we were like, okay, this is the year to win it. Every time we say this is our year to take advantage of being in the East and not having LeBron in the East anymore, we don't even win it. So then it's, okay, Kawhi's in the East. So does it matter that this – and Kawhi won with a basic-ass team, just by the way, just so we can know that. The Walmart version of the Boston Celtics. You know, it's the great value version. So we're all saying these super teams, but Kawhi didn't win with a super team.
Uh-uh.
That team
he put that team on his back and won the title.
Right. Around the same time that all this nonsense about the process and whatever. So if you're thinking that I'm saying your success matters in this point, it does not, because you haven't won anything. And I don't mean the championship. I mean just getting out of the East.
Right, and I think back to the early 2000s Eagles, right? I think back to the early 2000s Eagles where – they got to the NFC Championship. They got to the NFC Championship. They got to the NFC Championship. At some point, you have to take that next step up. So success to me is now improving and taking that next step up. And eventually they got to a Super Bowl and they lost it. And that's a whole other conversation. But they finally got there. And that was the most successful run in Eagles history.
Another question for you. Who's won more playoff games in the row? Brett Brown or Doc Rivers?
I mean, it seems like the way you're asking that is probably Brett Brown.
Well, the year that they lost to the bounce, they went to a game seven. So, and then I guess if you count the year that we got, you know, mollywopped by the damn Atlanta Hawks, who weren't supposed to be there either, I guess you count that. But every year we got these high hopes that this team is going to make good on the process. But what's success for you? Is success just making it to the second round? Because it sounds like to me.
We'll all at least agree there. When you look at a team like the Phillies, who are having success with, let's call it like he was, a no-name coach who is now building his name for himself. He's hungry. I am going to win a managerial job somewhere. Because Girardi phoned it the hell in. Same thing with Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers, where are the Eagles being successful? They've got a young, hungry coach who was a no-name.
And the thing about this is when you see no-names, right? So when we see no-names and we don't understand the name or we don't know exactly what coaching tree or what he's going to bring, we automatically think negative. So what happens is we get to this part where we get these guys right there that are really hungry, and they make fun of Nick Sirianni at his first press conference, you know, talking about the water and the tree and you plant it, the roots grow and all that. And the guy's done nothing less than be great. Like, he's done nothing less but exceed expectations from the beginning of him getting here. So, but then we have this old grumpy guy, this Doc Rivers guy, who doesn't want people to ask him questions and thinks he's Doc, he thinks he's Greg, the black version of Greg Popovich, but he's not. And he doesn't want anybody to ask questions. And this guy's phoning it in worse than a call-in job, a stay-at-home, a hybrid job. He's phoning it in like that. So what are we doing here? Like, what are we saying? Success is going to be when these guys can win and get out of the second round. Because if not, we hate it. We hate it. I still hate it here.
But the thing, like, for me, the Sixers, in order to be successful, have got to be pissed off about this hatred for the process. And they've got to do everything they can. So you know what? You're going to check us for tampering because we signed PJ Tucker. You know what? That pisses me off. And now we're going to eat. We're going to blow out the Eastern Conference. And then we're going to go all the way to the NBA Finals just to show you how pissed off we are.
But the question is,
but it won't happen.
But check this out. No, it won't. T, stop being so positive. All right. So the question that I need to throw out here to you guys is that if you look at if she said it could happen.
She's walking around in a blanket. Cause she's in her shame spiral right now. This
if you look
at spiral, you're in a shame spiral. I'm right, you're wrong. I'm big, you're small.
I'm gonna mute my mic. Go ahead and make your point.
Okay, so if you get to a point where you're looking at different things that have happened and you're looking through the NBA and you're looking for a blueprint to follow, because like they said, like, you need a super team to beat somebody. Well, that's not fair. Like, that's not a fair assumption, because we just watched Kawhi do it a couple years ago, and then after him, we watched Giannis do it with a very mediocre-ass team. It's just that one guy was so dedicated and so perseverant that they won.
And dominant. Him. And so dominant.
I mean, Joel's been dominant too. He just can't get over the hump because he needs more. Like, he just kind of needs more role players that can do their role very well. And our role players are very inconsistent. So, Leonard did it against a team that was riddled with injuries. He beat,
But he still got there.
He beat the 76ers. Like, what are we talking about?
I don't know if they would have won a title, but they definitely would have gotten there.
If the 76ers think you would have won a title, they wouldn't have won because they weren't ready to win yet. Joel was fat at that time. It took him to lose that
series. I think if you have a different coach this season, this past season, you're at least in the finals, the Eastern Conference Finals.
No, because you don't have the Harden version that you had this year wasn't ready to win. Now, I'm not to say.
Hang on now. Are you saying that James Harden is ready to go? Should I bring up my shenanigans of all the James Harden training videos?
No. I don't think he's ready. I just said he looks skinny. So he may be baby ready. But he's still 2 seconds to NBA atheists.
NBA atheists.
For those who don't believe in the process. The process is weak. It's weak sauce tea.
NBA atheists.
It's weak sauce tea.
I'm about to tweet it, guys.
Don't do it. Please don't do it. Someone take her phone. I fucking hate it here.
Show me the lie, everyone.
Oh, God.
Show me the lie.
All right, bring the wheel back up.
Partying with Durant.
Bringing the wheel up.
Oh, okay. Oh, I meant to say this. So do you think that it's more tampering the fact that he's turned this place into Houston Sixers or
that Philadelphia, pisses me off. Or Philadelphia and the thing, Rockets? They didn't do anything when they were in Houston together. So it's lazy GMing. It goes, well, I already scouted these guys. I know what they are.
Do you think that this guy is phoning it in too? Maybe him and Doc are on the same phone call. Maybe they're on the same phone call phoning it in together. Hell out of here, Max. Oh. I'm telling you, Max. Adam and Max, I shut that one down.
Okay. Remove. Here we go. a little spin.
Please TV some football.
I don't know where the line is. I think we're good.
Eagles.
Okay, but listen, the NBA or the NFL is a different section. Remember yes. that.
I know that.
So, Philadelphia Eagles had their open practice. They look phenomenal in it. Jalen Hurts is doing every damn thing right. Knock on Mother Hubbard wood, they are staying healthy right now. The Philadelphia Eagles are poised because you look at the rest of the NFC East. The NFC East is a garbage booty sauce dumpster fire.
I like the booty sauce. That's the new one.
Daniel Jones cannot hit the field, let alone a receiver.
He only trips on the line, so we need to make that known.
No, there's literally a video. There is literally a video of him missing his receiver in a 7-on-7 by probably 13 to 17 yards.
And remember they said Jalen Hurts couldn't throw. Remember that?
But Daniel Jones has a track record of not being able to throw, so much so that they're looking to potentially bring in Jimmy Garoppolo.
He's Mr. Stan.
I think if the Giants do somehow go out and get Jimmy Garoppolo, that team is at least a playoff contender from the East. However, you need a lot of help there. The Cowboys got considerably worse. And the big free agent acquisition outside of Carson Wentz over the last week, do you know who it was? Who did the Commanders sign just 2 days ago?
Give me a hint.
Linebacker.
Mac?
No. Because I laughed. I laughed so, so hard when I saw it. And I tweeted and I texted my Commanders buddy and told him.
James Harrison? I don't know.
Nate Geary.
Who is that?
The former linebacker for the Eagles who got burnt toast on the field over and over and over again. He played for the 49ers last season and couldn't get on the damn field. And the Commanders just signed this man.
So can we throw this one Potter throws up real quick? Let's throw this up about the Jordan Davis. So I've seen the clip that you're talking about, Jordan. I've seen that clip about Jordan Davis, Potter. And I will say this. I watched the kid at Georgia, like big, huge. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge college guy. He does take plays off. Like, so let's just be real about it. He's a big ass dude. He's young. He's not quite in shape the way he should be yet. That's to be expected. Like, they're not going to do anything to kill this kid's confidence. They're going to, even if it's a bad play he's made, they're going to probably just big him up just because they know that every other play, if you give him every other play, he's a game changer, dude. The dude's a freak of nature. You can't kill his confidence too early. You got Fletcher Cox. He's going to take him under his wing. I think a year from now, he won't be doing that same childish stuff where he's having to get babied in clips and stuff like that. But the dude is an extreme monster. Because he's going against one of the best offensive lines every day. Like, you know what I'm saying? Unfortunately, the guy's sharpened an iron. I mean, he's a 20-something-year-old kid that's going against, you know, legit vets. So, yeah.
So a lot of things came out. So, yes, we saw there's a video of Daniel Jones throwing a ball into the stands on an out route.
That was beautiful.
There is news coming out that even the coach for the Commanders – is saying that Wentz has not been accurate, or he holds on to the ball too long, where defensive linemen are chasing him out of the pocket going, throw the ball, and he runs out of bounds anyway, much like he always does. So I do not think, outside of the Cowboys, just because of their names on their roster, you know, the fact that they have a proven quarterback in Dak Prescott who hasn't ever, you know, gotten them over the hump. You know, Ezekiel Elliott's the second best running back on that team. They do have players. We have watched, you know, Diggs get burnt so much so that he deleted his Twitter, which is hysterical. I don't see, and we're going to do our Eagles shows coming up. I don't see, barring catastrophic injuries where Gardner Minshew is the quarterback the rest of the season, where the Eagles don't win the NFC East. Yes, I am going to put up this video real quick. Hold on, because this was a thing of beauty.
I just want everyone to know that last year, this same show that I am on today, I made very, very damn near damning things said about Jalen Hurts that I would say that Jalen Hurts is going to be an MVP candidate, and I'm doubling fucking down today, but he may be the first 1,000 guy, like, in Eagles history. He might be the first one. Yeah. Look at my face, Chip.
I'm looking.
He may be the first 1,000, and that could be the average for this guy for his career here. With the receivers that he's got.
Before I push play, can we talk about these dumbass bubble helmets?
Bro, they're not dumb. No lie.
I know they're smart long-term. I know they're smart long-term.
Our guys are wearing them in high school right now, and they do look stupid. And they, dude, I'm not even going to lie to you.
I'm just saying they look stupid.
Concussions-wise, like, listen, I love, fashion. Concussion-wise, dude, they're the smartest thing for these guys at practice.
Now, here's my question. Because we talk about if they don't, practice like they play and things like that. Is this a situation where they're going to be more concussions later on in the season because they're not acclimated to the head hits?
No, I think it's because they're not leading, because it kind of makes you not want to lead with your head, apparently.
Got it.
It's almost like you hitting yourself with a pillow. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like it doesn't give, because, guys get off on the sound, like the sound of hitting the.
Yeah.
You don't get that with those. They're like, it's like playing with a damn pillow on your head.
All right, here we go.
Is that on Slay?
No, that was on Bradbury.
Okay. Hey. I actually like the little black thing. Basically, like Russian soldiers.
I mean, it was sick. The throw was perfect.
So, okay. So let's just throw this up. I just been wanting to say this for a while. I've been wanting to get this off my chest.
Do it up.
If Jalen Hurts is in the MVP conversation this year, Eagles fans, I want you guys gone. I fucking hate it here for you guys. I want you out of here. You need to find another team. I know I'm not an official Eagles person, but I'm telling you here now, if you are a part of that group that wanted this kid gone for no other reason than he was a black quarterback, you got to find you another team, dude. This kid's going to be here for a while. They added all these weapons around him, and hopefully he gets the
his
bang for the buck.
His weapons.
If this kid has that 1,000 season I was talking about, I want all of it gone. You know what I'm saying? I want all of it gone. Or 1,000, 2,000, or whatever it is. Those caveat of Brown caught that ball with one hand.
AJ Brown's a real one.
He's a monster. And guess what? On the other side, there's another dude. If he was to throw it to the other side, there's another dude on the other side.
Oh, Jalen Reagor?
No. That dude's a blocker. He's a great blocker like that.
No, that's JJ Arcega-Whiteside.
No. Don't you say it. You're not to use negative connotations to anymore. I didn't say that, JJ. Just know that's that guy. He's over there on this side, whatever side he's on. He's over here. I'm good. I don't want no problems.
On August 1st, John Clark tweets out Jalen Reagor with a drop. And several times, once again, getting out-muscled and out-maneuvered for a ball with the defensive back deflecting it. And Jalen Reagor goes, bro, y'all got to stop this cap-ass shit. And then promptly deleted the tweet very damn quickly.
People probably put the videos up of him actually missing those catches. Like this
right now. So the first depth chart was released today, the unofficial one, and he is listed as our punt returner and our kick returner and second string wide receiver. This is a former number one draft pick or first round draft pick. But now the Bears might be interested in him. I mean, the Bears are interested in everybody who plays wide receiver at this point. Take him. Goodbye. Goodbye now.
Who do you want? Who do they have to give you though?
I don't give a damn.
Draft more draft picks?
The wide receiver room is too crowded as it is, so I don't want shit wide receivers in there.
Did you see Hurts, Luke Graham, Juke Graham?
Yeah, No, Hurts, Juke Graham, real bad.
Yes. See that. Dude, this is all par for the course for this guy. Like, what are you guys thinking about? He juked the kid last year, juked him out of his damn job. He's still looking for it. Like, this guy has been that dude for a long time. It's just nobody wanted to admit it because he wasn't the prototypical quarterback. He's going to sit in the pocket. Well, how's that working out for Carson Wentz now? That guy looks like trash can juice. Like, so
he's trash can juice.
So can we now, can you guys give this guy a fair shot finally? And we can
not gonna happen. Play? Not going to happen.
I don't know. What? Who's the alternative? Because I saw Gardner Minshew's. He looked like he legitimately is.
Here's the problem. It's the same way that McNabb was never the alternative. And again, McNabb is the greatest quarterback in Eagles history, hands down, no question. He never got a chance. And what's the one thing we still talk about? How he blew the Super Bowl.
J.J. wide receiver two to be in. Jalen.
Why did they trade for him? Gator, I'm trying to understand your comment because they want to win. AJ Brown, he's the truth.
Nope, we're getting catfished.
You know now, Gator's usually pretty good. Gator's usually pretty good here. Nope, I'm struggling to understand this.
He's catfishing us. What I'm saying is the reason that he's saying that he's saying JJ to wide receiver two to Jalen being wide receiver number one.
I got nothing. Gator, explain better.
Oh, you know what? No, he's being funny. He's being funny.
Oh.
Told you. She's just messing with
me. All right. Gator, you know I love you, man. You can't be doing that to me. I'm tired. I was at Dorney Park all day.
I told you, man. Dude, was, love you, Gator, but that was some good comedy right there. That was some good shenanigans.
Well done. Well done. Speaking of that, let's go back to it. Hey, remember when we said we were going to do a half-hour show?
Yeah, I told you. Don't ever say that again. You didn't even say it out loud. You just texted. And it was still wrong.
Ooh.
Updates.
All right. That's where I talk about situations that happen and you try to make the right call.
All right. I'm not going to expound on anything. Someone's going to give you my straight out answer.
Okay.
Here we go. She's not involved in this, right? She's not.
She is. She's watching. She's listening. She has not heard these stories.
Okay, good.
I don't want you to tell me stories when you come home.
Oh, and I have a video of one where a guy. All right, well, here we go. So, situation number one. Okay. Baseball is hit. Pitcher tries to make a play on it. Okay. Does not touch the ball. Like, makes an attempt at it, doesn't touch the ball. Ball rolls, hits the runner going from first to second in the foot. What's the call?
The ball. So you hit. Okay, say it one more time.
So the batter hits the ball. Pitcher goes to field the ball. Okay.
Okay.
Does not field the ball.
Does not field it.
Does not have. And the ball hits the base runner in the foot.
He's out. It's a live ball.
Max says out. Hold on. Gator says out. You say
it's a live ball and he's out.
Well, can't be a live ball and an out in that situation.
It would be an
immediate dead ball if it hits him, and that's what you want to call the out.
All right, he's out. He got hit by a live ball, so he's out. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Ready for it?
Dude, if you say he's safe, I'm done watching. I'm not doing these anymore.
No call. Play goes on. Coach comes out and goes, why? And I said, it's very simple. Because the pitcher went to field the ball, he's the first line of defense. Right? He didn't get it. Therefore, it's not the base runner's responsibility to also get out of the way after the pitcher did not make the play. Now, if there's been only the second baseman and the second baseman is going for the ball and it hits him first, and therefore the second baseman can't get to it, it's an immediate dead ball and he is out. But because the pitcher made a play on it and did not get to the ball, the base runner cannot be expected to also account for the fact that the pitcher missed the ball.
So what?
Basically, yes. You can't direct the ball towards someone and get them out. Potter, in a sense, that's exactly it.
I've had enough of this place. I fucking actually hate it here.
Situation number two.
I hate it here.
Baseball's hit. Okay.
Okay.
Pitcher goes to field the ball. This was all this weekend, by the way. This happened on my fields.
Like, who are you riffing? Like, do these people know that we do they sign
8, 9, and 10 year olds? So the lower you get, the lower you get, the more of the rule book you have to know.
It sounds like it.
Because that's when the goofy shit happens. Older kids just kind of play baseball. All right. Ball is hit. Pitcher goes to make a play at the ball. Right? Guys running from second to third. And there is a collision with the shortstop. You with me?
Oh, yeah.
Pitcher goes to field the ball. There's a collision between the shortstop and the base runner. The pitcher does not field the ball. As the play continues, the base runner eventually gets thrown out at home plate.
Okay.
What's the call?
He's out. Oh, no, it's a stoppage. It's a stoppage, like you said. What? It's a stoppage.
Stop. It's not. So it's a delayed dead ball, meaning you let the play play out. You let the play play out. Yeah. See? You learn. You let the play play out. Right. You let the play play out because the logic is that if the shortstop does not interfere with the base runner, he scores no problem. Because the pitcher made the play, he's the first line of defense. So now if he's in the pitcher the doesn't make a play there and the shortstop's going for the ball and there's a collision, the runner is out.
I knew it. Boom. I'm getting smart, but I still hate it here.
There you go. And I had to explain that to the coach and they went, we didn't know that. I said, but you coached the game.
Nobody's in the freaking rule book.
Ah, but we all blame umpires.
Thanks.
We all blame the umpires.
And Max, I do also dislike Chip when it comes to this particular.
This is my jam. And now the last one is I have a video.
Oh God.
I have a video. This has nothing to do with me, but I saw this on the TikTok and it really bugged me.
On the TikTok.
On the TikTok. And I wish there was a way I could zoom in because it's going to be teeny tiny. But I can't. Yes. So
this guy. On the TikTok.
On the TikTok. Which
next week I'm taking over comments because I'm going to be throwing these comments up. You're just slacking on your pimping. Like
okay. You ready?
It's not that little.
Title of your sex tape. Here we go.
Hi, Dick.
Oh, he's all right. He's in the box. You okay?
What's the call?
What just happened?
Make it full screen, bud.
It is full screen.
No, no, with us out, not on the screen. Take it, make it.
Okay, okay, okay.
Oh, it's only a little bit bigger. What a waste.
All right, here we go. Ready?
All right, let's do it.
Hi, Dick.
Dude's name's Dick. I don't know if you call it anything. This is a bad day, I guess.
What do you got?
Nothing.
You have no call.
I'm not calling anything. I'm just gonna let things play out. They had to go play. First of all,
but there was a runner going to third. There was a runner going to third base, and the catcher throws the ball and hits the batter in the head on his throw to third base.
Do you walk the batter?
Nope.
It would just be the third.
Okay, so here we go. Here we go. There's a lot of stuff happening, right? So Gator says dead ball.
Yeah.
Potter says hit by throw. Max says it counts as like a hit by bat.
That's what I said.
Even though the pitcher did, wasn't the one to throw it. So I'm gonna tell you right now that is way wrong. Gator saying the runner at third is safe. Max says, wait, the batter is out for interference.
Oh, yeah, because he said he was in the box.
Right. So I want you to watch this last time I'm going to play it. I want you to watch the batter very closely, and I'm going to tell you the rule. Watch the batter very, very closely because this umpire, Allo from Houston, gets this call wrong. Watch the batter only.
Hi, Dick.
The guy's name is Dick, first of all. Let's just
You see the step? It's the okay, Max, you're wrong here. Here is the legitimate rule. The rule is the batter. So the misconception is that the batter, if he's in the box, he's fine. That is wrong. The batter has to be 1,000,000% still. If he bends, if he flinches, if he leans, if he takes a step out, any of that stuff is interference on the throw. Batter interference.
Wait a minute.
It doesn't matter. It does not matter if he's still in the box.
No. Show the video one more time. Because I think he's moving to get the hell out of the dude's way.
And interference.
I don't understand that too. Like, that doesn't make any damn sense.
Okay, here we go.
Let's go.
Play Hi, Dick.
Watch his foot on the throw. Throw, step back.
Oh, he's all right.
He really didn't move all that much, Jeff.
Okay. Doesn't matter.
Dude, I understand what you're saying, but at some point, it's player safety. I'm about to get hit with a ball. I'm going to move.
Doesn't matter.
But it's like he was like,
he doesn't move into the ball. You're right. He doesn't move into the ball. He moves in the way of the catcher's throw.
No, he's saying he doesn't move into, he's trying to move out of the way.
The umpire is wrong here. I'm telling you, he got absolutely crucified on Twitter for this on TikTok for this, because he is wrong. The batter has to remain 1,000,000% still.
Have you ever got chased away from a field before?
No. Because I know this call.
You may have an angry mob after your ass.
So then why can the batter move out of the way when it's a bad pitch?
Exactly. I'm done. I've had enough. You know what? I'm out of
Potter,
here.
From the mouths of little children. Right. Because bad pitches are like, you have to make an effort to avoid the pitch. When the catcher is throwing, you have to be completely still. And here's the situation, right? If there is less than 3 outs, right? So if there's 1 out or 2 outs, the batter is out. If there's three, or the batter's out. If there's 3 outs, the runner's out and the batter comes up next inning.
All right, we're done. Max, yep. I'm with you. We're done. Matt, the next time we see Chip, he will be chased by an angry mob. Tila will have to rescue him. She'll have to drive the getaway car if he makes that call in real life.
I've had to. Last three sections. One of them should be pretty short. One of them could be decently. And then we have shenanigans. We're calling it a night.
They're going to be chasing him by Tomato.
We may only do like one of these segments. I'm going to be honest. So it's either going to be shenanigans or the NFL segment.
Let's do shenanigans all day.
No, because JD has something he wants to talk about.
You don't have to just do it now. We don't have to do the whole thing.
I'm spinning the wheel.
Watch it going to get Durant. Watch.
I'm spinning for Nelson.
Yes, it's the Steelers.
Durant.
I told you.
30 seconds or less. Go.
The Boston Celtics want Durant. End of story.
I said 30 seconds or less. Like.
You can that was 5 seconds or less.
He's making stupid demands. I think that Kevin Durant is overrated.
I do. Say he's overrated unless we get him, and then he's not overrated.
In which case, he's the greatest basketball player I've ever seen. Right, exactly. What is it in Brooklyn that they just do not? What he did today tanked his value. Absolutely. JD, what happened today?
I have no idea. I've been literally at school all day, so I don't know.
So today,
Chip.
He reiterates his trade demand and says, in a face-to-face meeting with the Brooklyn Nets over the weekend, he reiterated his trade request and informed the owner that he needs to choose between Durant or general manager and Steve Nash. Like it's them or me.
I mean, in theory, he's not wrong because technically Steve Nash hasn't won anything. He shouldn't even have the job. Correct. And their general manager is shit. So I mean, he's not wrong. I mean, you kind of need to, because if you don't, then you got to play another couple years with these guys. So it's kind of him or them anyway.
And Kyrie wants out. Ben Simmons is never going to play for this team. I mean, it's
a dumpster fire.
And apparently the owner subtweeted him tonight. So now I'm going to go on and check all the Kevin Durant stuff because I want to know what's going on. I must know. We fully support. Oh, that's why. We fully support our front office and coaching staff. So this decision has been made.
It is decided.
That he left. So, and apparently, I think this is the news you're talking about. Apparently, before game four of the Brooklyn series, that he was in the group chat and they said, yo, Ben, are you going to play game four? And he left the group chat.
Okay. That's par for the course for this guy. What do y'all
Dude, I hate it. I hate him. All right. NFL. We're not even using the wheel anymore. NFL. Go. JD's in his heels.
All right.
Do you need big screen?
I don't need big screen, but I can. I mean, I'll take it if I have it. You know, sure. I got a face for radio. So first off, number one, let's just be real. So there was basically a meme going around with Kenny Pickett and Mitch Trubisky. All right, and it's just these two. Their families are at this thing together. They're supposedly in this like weird ass like family meeting thing, and like they all got their kids and their significant others, and they're having this talk. And I just say I want to be a fly on the wall inside their minds, not like in the actual conversation, but in their minds. Because I'm wondering if Mitchell Trubisky's thinking, I'm about to dog this little punk. And maybe Mitch, and maybe Baby Hands is like, this dude didn't even, like, it was drafted way too early. And now he's a punk. Like, I'm wondering what they're actually thinking. Or, dude, like, are they really friends? Like, is it like the Foles-Wentz situation? Like, is it that type of situation?
No.
Or is it more like a Favre-Rogers situation where they openly dislike each other, but they're just trying to play nice for the cameras? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what is it?
But I don't think it's either of those.
What do you think it is?
I think they both suck.
Well, watch your mouth very, very respectfully.
I think neither quarterback is any good at all, and therefore it's the who's going to suck more.
Listen, I believe that Mitch Trubisky will start. And I think that's one of the cases where you give a person just enough rope to hang themselves. If he does, great, cool. If he doesn't, cool. You know what I'm saying? It's whatever. Exactly. So we can, yeah, exactly. I'm with you, Max. We're going to give him just enough rope to hang himself with. Like, oh, like maybe Mitch Trubisky just needed an opportunity. Okay, let's give him one. Let him play. Let him do his thing. And then, if he doesn't play anymore, we got Baby Hands in the wings. That's my feels.
I am really excited to really bring back some NFL content at this point because a lot of good things happening in the NFL. The season's coming up. Take my strong hand. And I'm excited for all things to happen. Okay.
Is there a possibility that Wentz is benched before the Eagles game?
You mean hurt before there? Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
No, benched. Benched.
I mean, I don't think so. Because he's really the only quarterback that they have.
Don't they have Sam Bradford?
On the Commanders?
Yeah.
No.
I thought he followed him there because, you know, it's the ghost of the future.
No. Let's see. The quarterback room right now. No, it's Carson Wentz, Taylor Heineke, and Sam Howell.
Oh, that's not hey, that's Sam Howell. That's the guy. Sam Howell could take his spot, seriously. Or Tyler Heineke. Heineke played decent last year.
Heineke's not a winner. Heineke's mop-up guy.
Listen, so is Wentz, apparently.
All right. Are you ready to shenan? Because I have some shenans ready to go.
I've been already shenaning. Like, I'm already there. Like, come meet me.
We always shenan. We always shenan. Me. All right, so
Heineke is a stud. Oh,
oh God, no. No.
He meant to put Heineken. He meant to pick Heineken. He meant to put Heineken is a stud.
Pick any four NFL teams to make the worst division possible.
Easy. I got easy. Commanders.
Uh-huh.
Jets.
Uh-huh.
Bears. The Bears. And the Houston Texans.
Uh-huh.
Those are my thoughts.
So I hear you. I respect you. I adore you. I'm going to go a different direction here. And the reason why I can't put the Bears there is because of their history. So I'm looking long term here. Right now,
No.
They're garbage right now.
It's right now.
Oh, right now? Okay, fine. Right now, I'm going with the Giants, the Jets.
They still got Saquon.
Doesn't matter. He'll be hurt by week four.
Okay, facts.
I'm also adding, so I said the Giants, the Jets, they can share a stadium. It'll be great. Oh, they already do. They suck. I am going to include the Seahawks because they are something fiercely bad.
Okay.
And then my fourth garbage team is going to be the Jaguars.
Okay. So there's two things that make this list for some of the people who put the Jags in it. The Jags have a future. So I will at least they kind of got a future. I mean, we don't know, and we don't know what they're gonna look like either. Like the Dolphins, we don't know what they're gonna look like. They got the fastest damn receivers.
None of us said the Lions.
Somebody did say the Lions. Well, nobody.
No, we didn't.
No, the Lions. They have a great coach, so they'll find a way to win at some point.
Dan Campbell is not a great coach. You stop it, sir.
Dude, I run through a wall for Dan Campbell.
I can't wait to watch Hard Knocks, though. I'm really excited for that. So Max is saying Lions, Seattle, Texans, Giants.
That's
Gator said Washington, Chicago, Seattle, Carolina.
Carolina's out of the woods, Gator.
Jags, Jets, Dolphins, Cowboys from Adam. Yeah, and the Titans are on a slippery slope, but for the fact that they have the best running back in football. And a great coach. And a really good coach.
But defensive-minded coach. So they can just run.
Defensive-minded coach, right.
Jacksonville has an HC1. So I'm assuming head coach. They have a coach now. They didn't have a coach last year. Because Urban Meyer was out doing Ed Orgeron things. Go Tigers.
Okay. Shenanigan number two. If you're coaching, please tell me how you react to this umpire call. And I'm going to say that. I'm actually going to say umpires. That was called a ball. Again.
I actually hate it here.
So, first off, it was a strike. Secondly, he swung the bat. It wasn't called a strike. And then he appeals to the first base ump, who says, nope, it wasn't a strike.
First of all, that ump owes he owes some money. He's point shaving. He owes somebody some money. So, that's why I said, this is your call. I want you to know, people to know that you're making this call. So
yeah, get your somebody owes a lot of money somewhere that is a little bit dangerous.
Oh, yeah. Yes. That's what that is.
I wanted to share that with you. Okay, next, Shanann. I had a couple of these saved from a couple weeks ago, and we just didn't have the opportunity. All right, you're coaching.
Okay.
You're coaching. And
why do you always pick baseball things?
And your pitcher acts like this.
The 3-2. Struck him out looking. A couple of K's for Karinchek.
I didn't see. I like it was so choppy. I didn't.
The 3-2. Struck him out looking. A couple of K's for Karinchek. Yeah.
He's a walking cancellation at this point. So I'm the NAACP is waiting on his ass. Like, you gotta remember. So yeah, I'm gonna be like, you're problematic as shit. So like, you need to go. Like, you can't throw up the games and get the, like, you know, popping off. Like, you can't do it there. Like, where are you from, kid? Like, nah, he can't play for me.
Compton.
Nah.
All right, team's best free agent signing ever. We're talking basketball here. I'll be full screen it a little bit so you can see a little better. Any ones that are just like, nah. Because remember, it says free agent signing. That's big.
Okay. All right. We can narrow this down.
It's tough for me because it's hard to know what's a trade and what's a free agent signing.
Well, either way it goes, you can look at, okay, LeBron James, when he went back to Cleveland, he was a free agent. So, and he wins a championship there. He also is a free agent.
He's there for both my, yeah.
And then he wins in Miami. He's also a free agent then. So then you got Shaq, who knows that he wins multiple championships with the Lakers.
Correct.
And then we know that Kevin Durant wins a couple of championships. Well, maybe two championships with the Golden State Warriors, number one?
I think so.
So I will go, just because of the amount of championships he won and what he means for the franchise, I'm going to go with Shaq. I think it's a no-brainer.
Yeah. Any of these where you're like, nah, like, mm-mm. Like for the Clippers, yeah, Kawhi Leonard's on there, even though he hasn't done anything yet at all.
Yeah, this guy's not really.
He doesn't do, I mean, this is
– Julius Irving, this is, Julius Irving's a good one too, though.
Yeah, I think that's a great one. The Sixers haven't really brought in anybody.
I would say if I got to rank them, it would be the two LeBrons, second and third, and then Shaq, number one, from what I see, value of what he meant to the franchise once he got there. Because he won pretty much right away.
Coach, critique this jump shot.
Okay. There's a couple things wrong with this. Okay. So, as a student... Okay, so there are some good okay, so there are some good things in this jump shot, right? There are
I'm
some
full screen so you can really critique it. Go ahead.
Okay, so there are some good things. You are straight up and down. All right, uh-huh. So that will give you that. You are parallel. It's hard to know if you're square with the basket. Your elbow does look square, though, so I will give you that. It looks like the last finger that's going to touch the ball will probably be your middle finger, but it should probably be your index finger, but it probably won't touch last. And you got a lot of palm going on right now. You got a lot. It's a lot of palm on that thing. So I would say you probably make this shot, though.
I do make this shot.
Probably make this shot because you're like, a lot of the things are right. So you're reaching a lot of the triangle, like the shooting triangle. You got, looks like you got a little bit of lift. So you got some legs in your shot. You are straight up and down. Your elbow looks to be square. And your eyes and balance are together. So you're straight up and down. And, you know, hopefully you make the shot. If you do, then you have met the triangle for the most part. I will not stand for any type of slander. You assholes.
I will.
I hate it here.
I've made more shots than Ben Simmons this season, so...
Well, Ben Simmons hasn't played in a year, so you made more shots him as soon as you walk into a gym.
Darn right.
All I'm saying is you met the triangle of balance, elbow, eyes, which makes a straight line for a square, and you can come up and through.
And on that, this is a great half-hour show. We added another hour to it, though. It was a great half-hour show.
We did it three times. We loved it, the half-hour show, so much.
Jesus Christ. We got cool stuff coming on this week. We got shows all week long on the AAT Birds Network, so make sure you're checking that out. What's happening on D2N this week?
Nothing. We're just getting ready for, like I said, for KK It's the startup. I'm gonna reveal my secret co-host in a couple days. Of KKids, and I can't wait to start that adventure, which is just going to take the place of my Obvious Outsider podcast, because I'll be at home now, or I'll be at work instead of being at home to be able to record that podcast. So that's going to become an evening podcast as well, but it won't be on Monday because, you know, that's our night.
That's our night. Make sure you're getting your tickets for the AAT Birds trip to Washington to poop all over Carson Wentz, who, according to one reporter, I'm not going to mention names, some dude named Nick Adams, Carson Wentz on his worst day is still better than Jalen Hurts on his best. This is an undisputed fact.
Yeah, because nobody would waste the time to dispute that stupid shit. Like, Well, it's funny because they got rid of one guy to keep the other. So you're right. It is an asinine dispute.
I'm Chip.
I'm Drip.
That's JD. Catch you on the flippity flip. Bye.